2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I really want to encourage you today. I really do. And verse 2 says, and I'm only going to read the first line. I'm not going to take it out of context because this is exactly what Paul meant when he said it. That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. Don't be shaken. Don't be troubled. Paul was, you know, alluding to some things they had heard and some things that were going on, and he was reassuring them that their faith needed to remain strong. Don't deviate from what you know to be truth. And, you know, when you look at the world that we live in, and you know, I really felt like with everything happening, God just, I really wanted to preach on a different subject, but I just couldn't get anywhere with it. And God just laid this on my heart. And, you know, when you think about it, it seems as though now even lost people, even those who are unbelievers, look at this world and they realize something is really amiss. I mean, there's some terrible things going on in the world in which we live. Now, again, I may have to bring you down to bring you up, but stay with me for a few minutes. Because if you watch the news, it's easy to get troubled, is it not? I mean, you know, on an international stage, you know, you have Russia bombing Syria, and you have all, you know, the Ukraine invasion by Russia, and you have what seems to be, you know, what we really dealt with in the 60s and the 70s happening all over again. History seems to be repeating itself, amen? And if you're old enough, you know that's true. And it just seems like, you know, our nation is a bit weak on all of it. And you know, we have in the, now if you watch the news, you know there's been an Iran deal, right? And you know that Iran seems to have made a pact that will absolutely assure that they get nuclear weapons in about, at least 10 years, probably much sooner because they're probably much closer than what most people would believe or know, or what leaders would lead us to believe. But, you know, here's the thing about that. In Ezekiel 38, Ezekiel talks about the very fact that Magog, which is the land of Russia, and Persia, which is the land of Iran, will make a pact, and they will stand together, and they will, in effect, you know, come against Israel at some point. This is in Ezekiel 38. You can read that. You can check me on this. Now, for decades, you know, for a long time, you know, secular politicians and scholars would say that's impossible. That, you know, the Bible right there is saying something that cannot happen because Russia and Iran will never be allies. You know, it was just a couple, 3 decades ago that Russia was in Afghanistan fighting against, you know, that very mindset and the ideology that Iran has now that they're in agreement with. And so scholars would say this would never happen. Ezekiel 38 is too far-fetched. Russia and Iran can never be allies. But I would tell you right now that Russia and Iran are allies. And if you don't believe that, watch the news. And so what the Bible said would come to pass has come to pass. And by the way, how would you feel as Israel's prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, that your strongest ally has in effect made a pact with a nation that through this whole nuclear Iran deal has said taking Israel's annihilation is not on the table. We are going to annihilate Israel. That's never been disputed by them. That's never been backed off of. And their hate for us through this whole thing has never ever been questioned. They hate us, they hate Israel, and they want Israel off the face of the earth. How would you feel as the prime minister of Israel? Man, that's a tough position to be in, isn't it? I mean, we've come to the place in this country where our allies do not trust us and our enemies do not fear us. And, you know, you have China coming in, all that, and then, you know, besides all that, and there's so much more, but just scratching the surface, you have our national outlook. And is it far-fetched to say that it seems like that the problems in our nation are escalating faster and faster? I mean, there is so much racial tension. There's so much racial division. There's so much mistrust. We have people that don't even trust police officers these days. I mean, you know, walk up to a police officer while he's filling his car with gasoline and shoot him in the back. Where have we come to in this nation in which we live? And you know what's scary about it to me? People seem to look at this and it doesn't faze people that much anymore. These things don't even, you know, rock our world anymore. They're just common news now. And then we have, you know, and the Sunday school teacher alluded to it a little bit. These shootings seem to be coming more rampant. You know why? Because it seems like there's so much tension, so much unrest, so much distrust, so much hate, so much bitterness in the hearts of men and women, which, by the way, are said to be desperately wicked. And that was even brought. Let me tell you something. It can only be kept under the surface for so long, and then it manifests itself in the things that we witnessed in the news this past week. It comes out. It comes to a boiling point. And so we have things like what happened this past week. And we can blame religion. And we can blame ideology. And we can blame a lot of things, but I want to tell you something. The only way, and the answer, you know, the answer is not gun control. The answer is heart control. The answer is to change the hearts of people. And we have the message that will change the hearts. I mean, it's easy to get shaken. Paul, you know, Paul's writing this Thessalonian church, and he says, please, you know, don't be rattled by this. Don't be shaken by these things going on. And then, and if you, you know, many of you have mentioned this to me over the last 6-8 months, and I hadn't given a whole lot of thought, but when people started mentioning it to me, I went and bought the book, Four Blood Moons. Now, you've heard about this, right? I'm sure you've heard about it. So I went and bought the book, and I read the book. It was a quick read by John Hagee. Interesting concept, interesting book. On top of all the unrest, on top of the international problems and all the national problems, everything going on in the world today, then you have folks that, you know, look at the lunar things going on. Lunar means, you know, the moon, the eclipse of the moon and all that, and making predictions about this is the time that this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And then when this blood moon passes and it doesn't happen, you know who it makes look bad? Not only the individual that predicts these types of things, it makes the church look bad. Listen, I don't know, and you don't know, and John Hagee don't know, and Cohen don't know that wrote, you know, the Harbinger. Nobody knows when Jesus is coming. And I want to tell you something. Didn't Jesus himself say 2 times, matter of fact, in Matthew 12:39 and Matthew 16:4, he said this, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, but there will be no sign given unto you except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. That was the, man, we have all the signs we need. I am not looking for signs. I am listening for a trumpet. Jesus is coming. I don't know when. And this world doesn't need to get any more wicked, and nothing else needs to happen to let me know it is time for the trumpet to sound. He's coming. And what I want to do this morning, and I just jotted a few things down, and I just prayed about this. And this is what God, I want to remind you of some things this morning. These are things you know. But I just want to remind you, and I want to encourage you, that you be not shaken. Number one, do not grow weary in well-doing. Don't be sidetracked by bad news. Don't be discouraged by the storms of the world that may rage. Be not weary in well-doing, for we shall reap. If we faint not, don't give up, church. Let me tell you, heaven will be worth it all. Thank God. Hallelujah. Hey, let it never be said about us, you did run well but what hinders you now that you do not run? Let me tell you, stay in the race. Abide in the ship. Amen. Don't give up. Don't give in. Keep going for Jesus. It's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to be sidetracked by these predictions and these problems and these storms that rage around us. But I want to tell you, we're serving a God that will never fail us. And He's given us everything we need. And bless God, keep going on. Don't give up today. Don't be shaken by these things. Hold on to the hand of Jesus. Remember when Paul was going through the storms in Acts 27, he was on his way to Rome. Then a storm blew up, and the ship that he was in was going to suffer shipwreck. And he was told by God, everybody will be all right, but we must abide in the ship. Let me tell you something, when the storms are raging, the best place to be is in the ship. Hallelujah. It's bad out there, but it's good in here. Abide in the ship. Can you imagine Noah? All that work he did on the ship, on the ark, and, you know, all of the ungodliness and immorality going on around him. And does it not seem that these things seem to be spiraling more rapidly? And as we go, it seems like they come quicker and quicker and quicker all the time. But when Noah got in the ark, he was safe. All them storms beating, them storm rage. But thank God, he was safe. He was safe. So number one, don't give up. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Keep running the race. Number two, I want to remind you of this. And matter of fact, let's quote it together. Hebrews 13:8. You'll know it when I started. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. All right, we all got it. Can we do that again? Let's just remind ourselves of that. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Let me tell you, we're serving a God that never changes. Finances may crash, health may fail, friends may forsake, technology may advance and change the way we do things, and sometimes we scratch our head. Listen, things are always changing around us, but the one thing we can hang our hat on, the one thing that can be the compass of our life, is that Jesus Christ never changes. He never changes. Amen. Listen, that is the truth you can build your life on. Jesus will never change. That's a foundation that will never crumble, thank God. That's a promise that will never be broken. That's an anchor you can hold on to when things are all around you seemingly going to waste. Jesus never changes. He is the same yesterday. You know why He's the same yesterday? Think about this. He said one time, He said, before Abraham was, I am. He always has been. We don't have time to get into the philosophy and theology of that, but just believe it. He doesn't have a past tense because He always is. He's the same yesterday and forever. Thank God, the way He was yesterday to us, He will always be. His love will never fail. His mercy will never run out. His grace will always be there. He will always be a very present help in a time of need. He will never let you down. Oh, I know sometimes we pray prayers and they don't get answered the way we would answer them, or the way we thought they would be answered by God. We say, well, why did God do this? And why did God allow that? But I'm going to tell you something. God is in control. And this world may seem like it is teetering on the brink of annihilation. It may seem like the whole roof is ready to collapse in on the whole thing. But I'm going to tell you something. Don't lose heart, because God is still on the throne. And right now, Jesus is intercessor at His right hand. everything is going to be all right because he is the same yesterday, of today, and forever. As he was, he will always be. And so right now, we can depend on him. Thank God. Hold on to his unchanging hand today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't be shaken. Don't be shaken by these things going on, because Jesus never changed. I want to remind you of something else today. And this is serious. You see, there's the urgency of the times in which we live. The times in which we live are very urgent times. You know, there's a line in the book of Esther that Mordecai told Esther about her being married to King Xerxes at that particular time. And he said, perhaps God has put you here for such a time as this. We are here for such a time as this. God, listen, God has us in a time when the world needs Jesus. Jesus and John and himself said in John 4:35, when the woman at the well, she went back to her city of Samaria. And she began to tell them she had met the master at the well. And when she got a realization and her mind grasped who she was talking to, she went back into the city she lived in. She said, come see a man that told me all things that I've ever done. She became a witness for Christ. And the townspeople were flocking out, and Christ standing there looking out over them coming, and perhaps the fields that were white. He said, don't say it's yet 4 months to harvest. Lift up your eyes and look, for the harvest is ripe now. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers into the vineyard. The times are urgent. And can I just say, receive this. I'm saying this in love. What the world needs is the church to be the church. What the world needs is not for the church to be a country club and a church had to be merely a place where people gather for social gatherings. That's part of what we do, but the main thing we do is reach people for Christ. And listen to the Bible. Peter said, if judgment first begin at the house of God, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, listen, where will they appear? Listen, we need a revival in the church today. Listen, revival don't come to the world until, I know you say you got negative. Listen, I'm just telling you what God told me. The world needs a church to be the church. The times are urgent. And they need the truth. They need the truth. And I want to remind you this. I want you to not be shaken. I want to remind you this. I love this. Because I want you to get this. The message is still a valid message. Amen? Paul told the Romans in Romans chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Here's what he said. Listen now. He said, for as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you at a Roman. You know, that's the way I approach my preaching. As much as in me is, I want to give it all. I give my all in preaching. As much as in me is, he said, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you at Rome. And he said in verse 15, he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation, to those who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It is the power of God. Amen? That's what the gospel is. What is the gospel? Paul illustrated in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. He said something like this. He said, for I delivered unto you the gospel which I preached, that is, that Jesus Christ lived, and that he died, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, and that he was seen by Cephas, that he was seen by the 12, and of me and of 500, he's alive. The gospel is good news. Thank God that people need to hear. And it is the gospel plus nothing. It is still a valid message. It is the message that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 people got saved. It is the message that Paul preached. It is the message that D.L. Moody preached. It is the message that Billy Graham preached. It is the message that I preach. And it is a message that will change people's lives. It is a valid message. It is still relevant. It is still valid. And if there's one thing, there's a few things that I'm very sure of in my life, and one of them is this: that God has anointed me to preach the gospel. And that woe is me if I don't do it. I want to preach this message because the message is still valid. Don't be shaken, church. I got a couple more. I want you to get this one. Because in the whole scheme of things, this is it. This is the point right here. Our role is essential. The role that we play is essential in the whole scheme of what's happening. You say, what can we do? We can be what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 or so. You are the salt of the earth. Amen. And if the salt loses flavor, what good is it? It's nothing better than to be tossed onto the pile. In the next verse, he said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Therefore, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. The church has an essential role in the world today. And you know why I know that? Because if we didn't have an essential role, we'd be gone. We'd be gone. Jesus would come and get us. We are the church. And the church can make a difference in individuals' lives, which makes a difference in families' lives, which makes a difference in neighborhoods, which reaches the communities, which reaches states, which reaches nations, and will reach the world. That's why supporting missionaries, home missionaries, international missionaries is important. But I will remind you this too. The reality of the opposition that we face is very real. Listen to this. We serve a real enemy with a real plan, who has real helpers with real followers, and he is a master at exploiting whatever weakness you may have and I may have in our lives. He will do his best to exploit it. And don't you just love it when he shows up in your house on Sunday morning? Woo! Oh, that's good, ain't it? Oh, buddy, he'd love to do that. Sometimes he comes to church. Sometimes he goes to work with you. Sometimes he's in the movie theater with you. Or maybe better said, maybe he's with you when you got that remote in your hand. You know you ought to change the channel and you're debating it. If you're debating it, you might as well go ahead and change it. Woo! He's a real enemy. Listen, the Bible said this. Paul said this. He said that we wrestle against principalities and against powers. He's a real enemy. Peter described him like this. He is a roaring lion roaming about, seeking whom he may devour. Jesus said this. The thief comes in John chapter 10, verse 10a, the first part. The thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he wants to do. And he wants to start with your testimony. And he wants to get your family. And he wants to destroy your marriage. And he wants to rob your children. And he wants to break down the church. Now listen, if we will stand together, unified in our doctrine, unified in our direction, united by love, united in the truth of Christ, we can withstand anything the devil can throw our way. There's a real enemy, and I want to remind you, he's out to get us. Last one. I'm going to close with this. I want to remind you of the power of our Master. I just want to remind you the power of our Master. You know something? He has never lost a battle. Oh, I know. The devil dealt him a heavy blow at Calvary. And in the grave, I don't know. You know, I was watching a boxing match the other day, Brother Jose, and I was watching one of them heavyweights, and this guy had an 83-inch length arm. Can you imagine? I think that's taller than me. 83 inches. I'm thinking to myself, nobody. And, man, he put a wallop on it. And I was thinking to myself, you know what? The devil put kind of wallop Jesus at Calvary, it would seem. And I think he might have thought maybe he was getting ready to count him out. But I'm going to tell you something. Before death reached 10, he got up out of the grave, and he defeated the grave, and he defeated death, and he's never lost a battle, and he will never let you lose a battle if you'll depend on him. Greater is he that that is in me than he that is in the world. We are more than conquerors through him. Thank God we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Let me just remind you of the power of the Master. He's commissioned us. He has empowered us. And there is no power in heaven and no power on earth when we stand in his name that can bring us down. So I say to you this morning, church, as Paul said to the Thessalonians, let's get a song ready, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled. Don't give up. Don't give in. Remember, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Remember that. Remember the urgency of the times. Remember the message we have is still valid. Remember the role we have is essential. Remember the reality of the opposition. But remember the power of our Master. We cannot be defeated. Don't be shaken. Don't be rattled. Keep running. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for this time together. It is good to be in your house, Lord. It is good to be with your family, our family, the family of God. It is good to get into your book. It is good to feel your presence. We thank you, Lord. You've certainly blessed us today. May we take this word today from you, and may we be encouraged by it. May we be strengthened by it. May we be empowered by it. May we be the ambassadors you would have us to be this week. In the name of Jesus, amen.